I was surfing the web this week when I came across a rather unusual initiative geared towards raising awareness on the tragic reality of landmines. It struck me for more reasons than one. Just 2 weeks ago, in fact, Pope Benedict XVI had called for a worldwide ban on the use of landmines. He was speaking during the Sunday Angelus in St. Peter's Square, ahead of a mine ban convention the next day.
Esprimo di cuore il mio augurio e il mio incoraggiamento.
These weapons, Pope Benedict said, which continue to cause victims, including many children, should be completely banned.
Siano completamente banditi.
Yes, in fact, notwithstanding the dramatic legacy left by landmines on over 1 million innocent victims around the world, 38 are the nations that have still not signed the 1997 Ottawa Treaty, the first global accord against these lethal arms that are designed to explode when triggered by pressure or tripwire. But let me get back to the unusual initiative I mentioned at the beginning of the programme. At first glance, it has nothing to do with weapons and destruction at all. As a matter of fact, the radiant smiles and the shiny sashes sported by the girls in the photos seem more pertinent to a beauty pageant. And in fact, I read on, it is a beauty pageant we're talking about, the winning title being Miss Landmine 2008. I looked again, and sure enough could not ignore the fact that the girls in question have more in common than a dazzling smile and a glittering tiara. They are all landmine survivors who have lost a limb. I must find out more about it, I thought, and called up the person behind it.
My name is Morten Trovik. I am a Norwegian director and actor of theatre and film. And I am also the creative director of the Miss Landmine project.
I asked him to tell me how it all began.
It all started around 3.5 years ago when I visited Angola for the first time. And this was only slightly more than 1 year after the 27 years of civil war had ended in Angola. So the specter of war and the very tangible and physical reality of all the leftover landmines that were littering the countryside were very, very present in your everyday life, both as a local, of course, but also as a visitor. It made a profound impression on me, being so restricted and not being able to go almost anywhere because there were so large tracts of the country that wasn't cleared, and still is.
Yes, it is estimated there are more than 100 million landmines located in 70 countries around the world. And the country that has one of the highest rates of landmine injuries per capita is Angola in sub-Saharan Africa. An independent struggle from the nation's Portuguese colonial rulers, starting in 1961, marked the first phase of what developed into nearly 4 decades of almost continuous warfare there, between the government and a rebel army. A warfare in which both sides made heavy use of landmines to defend strategic towns and mine key infrastructure.
The problem in Angola is that there are no recorded grids or plans whatsoever over minefields. Mines were put out quite indiscriminately, sometimes several times in the same areas by both sides in the conflict. So from a mine-clearing perspective, the problem is that they can basically be anywhere, which means that if a person or an animal, domestic animal, a cow maybe, steps on a mine in a field, that may either mean that he has been extremely unlucky because that's the only mine around, or it can mean that there are, you know, several hundred mines clustered in the area.
So, an untold number of unexploded weapons still lurk in the soil throughout the countryside, planted during decades of civil war and still claiming victims 5 years after its official end. Thus, mines and booby traps explode in agricultural fields, beneath roads, and in schools, claiming their victims at random.
Did you see a lot of people bearing the signs of the landmines?
Yes, and you see people with amputated limbs, usually legs, because that's what usually happens in mine accidents, that people step on mines. So the amputees, the survivors of landmines, are a quite prominent feature in most areas of Angola, actually.
Why did you think of a beauty contest, and who are the participants?
Well, that was my other one strong impression from my first day in Angola. That were actually the beauty pageants, which are a very, very popular modern cultural feature in Angola and in quite large parts of sub-Saharan Africa. In Angola, those pageants are immensely popular and are also of a much more inclusive, feel-good nature than what we in our, you know, Western Anglo-American cultural sphere associate with this kind of contest. It's much more like a big celebration or carnival feeling about it. The participants have been chosen from 10 of Angola's 18 provinces. Each of the participants represents her own home province. And what those women have in common are naturally that they are all landmine survivors and that they have been approached through a network of different foreign aid organizations that have operations on the ground, in the field, in the Angolan provinces. And they have been made aware of the project and asked about their opinions about it to assess the project and finally if they would be interested to participate. So we have over around 2 years been advertising the project in the different operational bases of different NGOs.
I see here that the actual competition is due to take place on UN International Blind Man Awareness Day, if I'm correct.
That's correct,
In April 2008.
April 4th, yes, 2008.
What will the winner take home?
The winner will receive a custom-made prosthesis from Norway's leading, and also one of the world's leading manufacturers of custom-made prosthesis. And this is, of course, a hugely symbolic prize that, of course, hopefully will be very useful and very valuable in itself, but also serves to highlight the fact that the majority of landmine survivors, both in Angola and elsewhere, don't have access to adequate prosthetic gear. For instance, of the 10 participants in this year's Miss Landmine, there are only 2 that have their own prosthetics. And those are also not custom-made, but made from a standard International Red Cross model.
Morten, I read that you had problems finding funding for the project and you were actually turned down by big aid organizations. And then Angola's government decided to support the contest. Is that correct?
That's right. Actually, the Angolan government have been very positive to the project from the outset, which has been the deciding factor for me in those moments whether I have, you know, been unsure of whether to keep pushing it or not. Because I think a project like that, to be legitimate, it has to have the support from the local community and the local culture, not to become just another naive Western aid effort that are more or less imposed upon skeptical or indifferent African societies. So the Angolan government, and actually all the, I think I can say, without exception, all the Angolan collaborators and partners and people we have approached during the preparations for the project have been all very, very positive and have understood that means of communication very, very instantly. The problem has been to get, you know, Western donor NGOs on board. That has been much more difficult, probably because those agencies are rooted, after all, in a Western European cultural understanding of myths and beauty pageants, which make them react quite negatively to anything that has got anything to do with a beauty pageant.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, it's a really different way of highlighting a very, very serious problem.
Thank you.
Your website is also very informative. Reading the stories of the contestants is very, it's a very powerful powerful thing to do. I was very struck by the story of a 19-year-old girl who was walking home from school, and she stepped on a landmine, and it put an end to her education as well as maiming her for life.
Yes.
And also the fact that you say that in Angola, disabled women are often isolated and looked down upon. So this is really a way of overcoming prejudice as well. Can you just list some of the objectives that you hope to obtain by highlighting the problem with this contest?
As an artist, I always start with images in my head. That was the very first thing when the idea occurred, was just an image in my head of what this might look like. Then you start asking yourself, what can I use this image to achieve? And from the outset, have had two main objectives. One has been obviously to highlight the problem of landmines and that some countries actually still are producing landmines 10 years after the international campaign to ban landmines. The other has been to highlight the identity of disadvantaged people, and often people who are disadvantaged in more than one way. For instance, these women are not only disabled, they are also African, they're black, and they're women. So they are, in quite many contexts, classical disadvantaged in a global perspective. But what I want to challenge with Miss Landmine is exactly our tendency to look upon disadvantaged people or cultures as victims or passive recipients of our charities and well-meant aid efforts, that I think we are almost immune to those kinds of images after so many years of sad stories coming out of Africa. And one of the things I am happy about with Miss Landmine is that it manages to get a tragic story and a very serious message across, but at the same time showing that these women actually are proud and strong and dignified and are not different from any other women who are, you know, not disabled.
They're also very beautiful. I mean, your photographs are super.
Thank you.
You said that there are countries that still produce landmines. Do you know what countries they are?
Yes, I have actually a shaming list in the Miss Landmine magazine that I have printed as a part of the international work. Those countries include the US, Russia, China, India and Pakistan, Burma, South Korea. There is another one which I don't remember right now.
So I made a search as well and found other names to add to those listed by Morton, including Cuba, Iran, North Korea, Nepal, Singapore, Vietnam. But let's get back to Miss Landmine. Morton explained that everyone can participate, in the sense that the photographs appear in the project's Miss Landmine magazine and are also travelling through Europe as an exhibition. Meanwhile, visitors to www.miss-landmine.org are encouraged to learn about the contestants and vote for their favourite. More than 3,500 online ballots have already been cast, and two of the landmine survivors will ultimately be crowned, a people's favourite and another selected by a jury in Luanda during the live event.
Apart from the winner, what do the other candidates have to gain from participating?
On the very basic level, there will be prizes donated from different Angola-based foreign companies and charities. It is also, by the way, it is a paid assignment. Both the photo shoots and the work that the ladies are doing in connection with the event itself are paid assignments. But, you know, this is it's quite important for me that this doesn't take on the character of a get-rich-fast scheme for anybody involved, actually. I think in the long run, what's to gain for the participants is, of course, to highlight their own situation and make, hopefully, small improvements on their own situation and the situation of other people in the same situation by participating in this awareness-raising project.
This is a question I normally wouldn't ask, but you're an artist, so I can't resist. As I mentioned, one of the objectives you list in the manifesto is to celebrate true beauty, and I'd just like you to tell us, what is your concept of true beauty?
Yes. How much time you got? Well, I could be diplomatic and wise and say that true beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but I guess I get too easy off the hook by saying that. So for me, true beauty is a combination of many many, many things, not only physical perfection. You know, to me, like Jennifer Lopez, she's good-looking, but she's not really beautiful. For me, as an example, a moment of true beauty, I think, was when we took the photo shoots of the candidates in Luanda 1 year ago. And you could see how all the ladies just came alive in front of the camera and started to, you know, pose and enjoy being glamorous and finding their expressions and really shining in the situation and having fun and enjoying themselves and being proud of who they are. That for me was pretty close to true beauty.
Morten and I had been speaking for quite a while, and it was time to say farewell. One last thing I asked, what are your ultimate hopes regarding the initiative?
My hopes is that Miss Landmine will be able to have an afterlife, which is already on the cards as we are preparing a Cambodian version for next year, for late 2008 or early 2009. Also, there are plans within Angola to create a national network for female landmine survivors with the participants of Miss Landmine as a nucleus. So if those two projects get off the ground, which at the moment looks very likely, I think that it's absolutely fantastic. And it shows that the effects of Miss Landmine can, in the long run, spread like rings in water.
Rings in water that have very far to reach indeed, because there are still an estimated 80 million landmines buried worldwide. Apart from Angola, the most landmine-affected countries include Afghanistan and Cambodia, while the Middle East has been called the landmine heartland, with tens of millions of landmines buried from Morocco to Afghanistan. I also discovered that every 28 minutes, someone steps on a landmine that kills or injures approximately 18,000 people every year. 80% of them civilians, nearly one-third women and children.